What's up, beautiful people, and welcome to Inside Out Empowerment, where we are examining the science of personal excellence through the very real experience of today's most powerful thinkers, professional athletes, and the world's greatest entrepreneurs. We learn the mechanisms for designing the life and the results of our dreams, starting from the inside out. I'm entrepreneur Joshua Nussbaum and your host. Just watch me now.
San Diego Chargers here had a receiver named Chambers.
Was it Chris Chambers?
Yes.
I'm the only white guy named Travis Chambers, like, in the world.
Yeah, and you guys can't see him because I'm on video and you guys are audio right now, but his dreadlocks are not as long as you would expect.
Yeah, I'm the whitest looking guy ever.
And, I mean, how long was your stint in the NFL?
Let's see. Evidently, I was born in 1978.
You look great for your age.
Yeah. I've got a child named Chaz. I don't know what the hell is going on with that.
I kind of disagree with your naming choice, but we're starting on an odd foot there, but maybe you can recover. I'll give you the opportunity.
But I can run the 40 in 4.3. So
holy shit. That's like 10 seconds. That's like 10 seconds better than me.
And I'm like 250, so
I can only see from the shoulders up. You must have really huge legs.
Yeah, massive.
I was joking around on an interview about how I'm not really all that athletic. My muscles are more for viewing than for using, you know, like they're not functionally, you know, I care more about symmetry than like actually being able to like jump high or run fast. And Liz is like, stop, weren't you captain of your football team in high school? And Liz is my girlfriend, by the way. And I'm like, yeah, dude, in a Division III, like private country club ridden Jewish, like non-athletic private school. Right? Yeah. Like, dude, for 8-man football, I was a motherfucking gangster. When you go out into the world and you go and like, you know, like my dad was like, you should play in college and you should walk on to state. And I'm like, dad, do you have any idea the difference in competition level when you go play? Like I would get drunk in college and play like intramural football with like all the guys that were like college or high school football players that also wanted to like get drunk and like play flag football. Right. And I was like upper average, you know, like he's like, go play in college. I'm like, no, those are actual athletes. You know what I mean? Like I'm like middle of the pack human being right here. So I'm, you know, scoffing at your dreadlocks, but it's just because I'm secretly envious of the fact that you have a kid named Chaz and played in the NFL, or at least that's what
45 introvert, man. Clyde Drexler style. Where'd you grow up? Where were all these Jewish football players at?
I wouldn't call them football players. I think they were like human beings. Like maybe like, I think some of them actually had better luck being an astrophysicist than an actual football player, but they played football as a recreational activity after school because they probably needed a PE credit of some kind. I grew up in San Diego. So I'm a very rare breed. I'm a born and raised San Diegan.
Interesting.
Yeah. Minus cool. The voice crack.
I didn't know there was a big Jewish community there.
Yeah, I think San Diego and LA are pretty big Jewish communities. Mm. So on behalf of Jews, this is my fake offended face. Where did you think we were at?
Dude, I always thought Jews, there's a lot in like Florida, Atlanta, yeah. And then, yeah, New England area. But
gotcha.
But I mean, LA, I knew. I didn't know San Diego was big either, though. Mormons, yeah, you got Arizona, California, Washington, Oregon, Idaho, Utah. Those are the major ones.
Got it. I just thought you guys were all in Utah.
That like corridor though, Arizona, Utah, Idaho. That's like, it's just a stripe of Mormons right there.
A stripe of Mormons. I'm going to have to write that one down. Is that,
corridor.
Yeah, I know that you're big in the advertising world. So I just want to make sure before I use Stripe of Mormons, that's not copywritten or trademarked whatsoever, right?
No
royalties needed.
No.
Okay. Well, it definitely beats ripping fake before and afters of The Rock and tossing them on your jumper.
So that's cool too. You can say whatever you want about Mormons, because like we just don't get offended by like anything.
Dude, this is why. This is exactly what I was telling you, that there's two types, if that's the right way to say it, favorite people that I have. Like, I hate to stereotype.
Super nice, can't get offended, but will like.
Dude, you know what? So for those of you that don't know, we immediately got into like becoming like buddies prior to the show, and it like kept turning into like quick bullet points into like actually shooting the shit. And I'm like, fuck it, I'm just gonna turn on the mic because we're saying funny shit. I was telling him that my two favorite types of people are Canadians and Mormons. And I don't really know why. I mean, you know, junior Olympic hockey and was competitive in the hockey circuit. So the Canadian thing kind of makes sense. And I think you just made it click for me is I think I'm a highly offensive human. And you guys are like fucking impervious to like getting your feelings hurt.
Yeah.
Like the amount of heat between like South Park and like, I don't know, man. Like, I feel like you guys have a bad rap for how, like, oh my God. Yeah. The Book of Mormon.
Oof. Yeah. It's like, yeah.
Okay. So, Book of Mormon jokes aside, I'm happy that you're not easily offended. And we get to make plenty fun of Jewish grandparents later in the show. But we're not here to talk about you being a fake black guy.
I figured you out, dude. You are Jake Gyllenhaal.
I'm Jake Gyllenhaal.
I
wildly appreciate you comparing me to somebody that's like 4 points more handsome than I am. You're a fucking sweetheart.
I
owe you a chest bump.
Or Gyllenhaal.
I've gotten that many times. Believe it or not. Jake, if you're listening to this, I'd love to have you on the show and prove how similar, like, I don't know why when they were doing like the doppelganger weeks on Facebook 3 years ago, why you didn't use me as your guy, your celebrity lookalike. I'm still a little bit offended by that. So we got a bone to pick, and I think we should do that on the show.
You're 37 years old. You're 5'11".
Are you reading my Jake Gyllenhaal bio?
Yeah.
And who are you again? You're Chambers, right? What was your Chris first name? Chambers. Chris Chambers.
Chris.
Yeah, perfect. So
we're about the same age. So
how old are you?
I'm 29. I'm actually turning 30 next week.
Dude, that's right. I actually saw that you were 30 under 30 on Forbes, you fucking animal, you.
Yeah, I was telling you earlier, I faked my way into it. I have to say that so that people like me.
I hear you. It's called feigning modesty, and it's a tactic, and I think you're doing it beautifully. I think the head tilt and everything, you're like, oh, please stop. And you guys can't see, but I'm like doing the motion. Keep talking.
Yeah. Yep, exactly.
So this is me stroking you, hashtag no homo, not you stroking yourself, but I actually would like to know what the fuck, how does that happen? And what does 30 under 30 mean, by the way? And then how did you pull it off?
It's a little bit of a sham, man. So I got a bunch of celebrity influencers that have been in our commercials. We paid to be in our commercials, so they felt obligated to do
this. Wait, I'm going
to
pause you for a second. I'm going to stop you, Travis. Guys, what's up? I'm here with Travis Chambers. He is not an NFL wide receiver. He is an internet marketing gangster. He owns Chambers Media. He's a guy that when we connected at first is a dude that if you like my educational stuff that I do, reach out and connect with this guy. He's very well versed and we're going to keep it at level like 1, 2, and 3 today, but I think he can go up to, you know, a level 8 to 10 sophistication wise with how dynamic, especially in this like constantly evolving ecosystem and digital landscape. I cling to these motherfuckers. Anyone that I can learn from, I try to keep close and at least like, you know, send them inappropriate Snapchats and like funny memes, you know, once a month. I don't know for sure that he's going to like me and I'm going to like him, but I can tell you educationally and experientially, this guy's a thug and is coming with my full endorsement. So that being said, Mr. 30 under 30, you have how many months left of being in your 20s?
A week.
Little whippersnapper. 1 week.
A week. How old are you? 20s, 30s?
Guess.
I'm going to say you're 32.
You're an animal. And if somebody didn't put that fact in front of you, I think you need better assistance. But yes, you're accurate as fuck.
Yes. I just judged totally based on, yeah, appearance
alone. Yeah, so. You know what he did is he pulled his Facebook pixel.
Probably.
He's retargeting the shit out of me right now through like one of eight companies that I don't know he does the advertising for.
I just dialed into Cambridge Analytica and found it.
There you go. Do you have an affiliate link you'd like me to link in the show notes or?
Yeah, take my test of like, what kind of historic figure are you?
Perfect. I was going to say like what type of junk food, but I guess historical figure works just as well, considering we've started the show with complete misidentities, to the extreme. Tell me about the 30 under 30 thing and then let's get to it.
You got to advertise. You should just put Chris Chambers.
Yeah, just clickbait.
Yeah, just say I'm Chris. We interviewed Chris Chambers from the NFL and then perfect. It'll get listened to a ton. And then they'll find out it's me and be disappointed, but it's okay.
You know what? As long as we get the download, right?
So, yeah.
There you go. And you know what? It makes you charming and endearing. So don't call yourself out because I see it from a mile away, but people might actually think that you're humble that are listening. So let's just leave that to be the way it is. I just care that you're fucking a sharp cookie. I don't really give a shit what your opinion is of yourself.
Yeah. So Forbes, I always thought it'd be kind of cool. But I'm not like, I got to feign modesty again. I'm not one of those people that was like needed that validation in my life. You know, like I'm married, I've got two kids, I've got really good friends, I've got a good, so just never really needed that. And I exited the rat race years ago. The whole like living for a title and to have some level of like validation for everyone you meet that you have some title at some company. So yeah,
I gave up on that after failing miserably for the first like 11 years of my life and then just acknowledged that I was a fucking weirdo. And ironically, it wasn't until I embraced that I like shit starts to click like super ironically.
That's actually like, I think the whole takeaway from this conversation should be, and everything like I'm going to talk about with my experience is the sooner you just don't care anymore, the sooner you're going to be a baller far beyond what you ever imagined. And you're just not straight up, just not even going to care if people think you are, and that's going to make you so. But back to Forbes,
if I take the yacht, when you can fly, enough about you. Cause me, I love it.
Exactly. So
I think that's the most fucking amazing transition that has ever occurred on the history of Inside Out Empowerment. So you really, it's important to love yourself. Because that's what turns you into a baller. Back to Forbes.
Because I'm actually about to like reveal how I just cheated their system. And I don't know if they're going to like disqualify me because I'm saying this, but they probably will never listen to this anyone there. But I just got
listeners, bro. I got a lot of listeners. Don't underestimate.
So it's probably going to make it. Someone's going to forward this and they're going to be
not,
like.
And if not, I'm going to do it just to prove you wrong. I'm like, can I please have the number for the editor of...
If they DQ me, I've already got it in print, so...
Fuck it, dude. That's all you... You know what you need? You need like three lines of like, this is how credible and awesome I am. Please read. And then you like post it to a couple of fucking like PR blasts or whatever. So it's like not on your website and your email alone. You're set. Yeah. That's your entire resume. Yeah. Your life, you know? Maybe in a decade.
Yeah.
So give it a little time. Give it a little typo and change it to 40 under 40 and then just be like, oh, whoops, I had a new assistant and she fucked that one up. You know, you're set. 20 years.
Dude, good. There's people on LinkedIn who have top 30 under 30 on their thing. And then I like go through their LinkedIn. I'm like, I can't find what this 30 under 30 thing is for. I guess it's like top 30 under 30 for
in parentheses, Jews in South Carolina,
Missouri.
Yes, exactly. We're like,
Jews
oh,
that's the West. Yeah.
We're like, that's incredible because there aren't any there. I apologize if you're a Jew living in South Carolina.
Oh, dude. Yeah.
So how did you game it? You reached out to a couple of your like big swinging dick social accounts and you're like, hey, nominate me, tweet me, whatever. And you shared it, generated a little buzz, gave the impression, which by the way, I don't know if you've ever heard this before, but they say, and I always listen to they whenever possible, because they is a very credible source. It's like right up there with Wikipedia, that perception is reality, right? So you gave someone the perception and as a result created the reality. I'm saying this to your credit, by the way. Someone being like, dude, I didn't deserve it. I blah, blah, blah. It's like, no, dude, you got your name on that list, convinced someone that you deserved it. You got some support from people that you have access to and capacity to connect with and communicate with because of who you are and what you do. So feigning bullshit modesty aside, if you have the capacity to put the pieces into play, it's like, I got lucky and was in the right place, right time. It's like, no, dude, success is only when opportunity meets preparation and you prepared yourself to be able to step up and seize the opportunity, even if it was a little bit sideways from the angle and the approach, which, by the way, is what makes good marketing. Continue.
And it worked, man. I got in there and they asked like a couple follow-up questions about like revenue. You know, revenue's been good enough. And I'm like, you know, I can CC you and my accountant if you like need to verify. And they didn't. So
you're like, is this like the real estate market prior to the crisis of 2006? Because if this is stated, I'm going to get way more aggressive. If this is like, you know, yeah. I have to provide you with like even a pay stub, I should probably take the loan out of my dog's name.
Yeah. Yeah. How many Charizard Pokemon cards and Beanie Babies collector
fucking good drops. Good drops.
You own, because we can loan against that.
I'm still hoping those go up in value.
Dude, they will. I just bought an N64 on eBay for like $40. And I was like disappointed that it wasn't worth more. I was disappointed I wasn't paying more for this like classic piece of history, you know?
Yeah, so I just bought I'm going to one-up your story right now. Show you how big my 4 inches of fury is, motherfucker. I just walked into Target buying my son a 9th birthday present, and they had the original Nintendo replica, so that it was a brand new system, but it is a remake of the original NES, right? With little square controllers that you play like Super Mario and Duck Hunt and like all that shit. And it comes with one cartridge. Remember the ones you could like blow into?
Yeah.
You know? And it comes with one cartridge that you go and you like plug in, but it's every single Nintendo game ever created ever on one cartridge.
Dang.
And I was so stoked and was like showing him like Pong and like Donkey Kong and like all this shit. And then I was so excited. I special ordered an SNES, Super Nintendo, that did the same exact thing. It was like Super Nintendo, then N64, right? They were like right after each other model wise. Yeah. And my son, who's like, you know, a Call of Duty gangster and plays Fortnite and whatever, is like, this is literally the lamest thing I have ever witnessed in my entire life. Like, why are you excited? And I'm like, dude, it's Duck Hunt. You have a gun that you point at the screen. Like, that's not cool to you?
I pulled up like Mario Kart, Super Smash Brothers, and I was like amazed at how poor the quality was.
I was like, how did I look at this? This is like unhealthy. How did I even make out the sheets? This is ridiculous.
Dude, the last time I played N64 and like 98 or whatever it was photorealistic back then. And now going back and playing, I'm like, oh man, this looks bad. But I don't care. It's still beautiful. It's still beautiful. Yeah.
But it's beautiful to us because of our perspective. Whereas those whippersnappers that grew up with like, you know, Xbox 360 and now Xbox One and Xbox One X are like my 9-year-old was sort of like, Dad, you're embarrassing yourself.
Yeah.
You're embarrassing yourself, bro. This is fucking magic. This is history. Dude, you know? And I'm like, oh wait, I sound old. That happened.
It's true. Video games are too intense now. They're just,
yeah.
Like N64, there was only like a 20% variance in potential skill.
Yes.
Comparison.
Yeah.
Now there's like 100%. Like if you have to play 10,000 hours to
become competent,
and then you dominate everyone, and it's like not even fun. Like I don't want to treat this as a job. Mario Kart, it was like I could stick someone that's never played on it before, and they're going to give me like a run for my money. You know,
dude. I used to make my two of my younger brothers cry by just by not looking at the screen and button mashing and beating them in Mortal Kombat on Sega Genesis when I was like,
See, that's how games should be, man. Like NFL Blitz, just Hail Mary, Hail Mary,
dude,
Hail Mary.
NFL Blitz, you're fucking so in my lane right now. It's not even funny. How many times did you straight up just Hail Mary? No, Da Bomb. Remember Da Bomb?
Da Bomb was the go-to, dude.
Dude, the go-to. You're like, what? I'm down by 42 with like 3 minutes left. Da Bomb.
Yep.
Down
the bomb every time.
You know it's coming. You look at their screen, you see him picking it, you can't stop it, dude.
Yeah, it's just they took all the gambling out of games. There's just no luck to it anymore.
No, it's just, you know what, there's like life requires enough skill as it is. I just want to be like fucking mindlessly good, you know?
You just
want
to sit back, hit the old, you know, see what happens. Get a free win every once in a while. Life never gives you free wins.
I don't know. Yeah. I did a little bit of digging. I've looked at some of your fucking campaigns and I beg to differ.
That's true. I've gotten some free wins. That's true.
I've seen you get some pretty fucking nasty virality. Dude, you know what
I saw? Some right place, right time wins.
And you know what? That's one of the three things. You need brains, you need balls, you need a couple lucky breaks to be a baller, right? And like no one gets there without a couple lucky breaks.
There's a concept there. Like, do you know the people in your life who are good people and they're mega high IQ and everything just always goes wrong for them? Always.
Yes.
I've got this family member of mine. It's just like, dude, everything bad that could possibly happen happens to him. And I don't know what it is, but it's like, but then you have these people that aren't that smart, that aren't even like that motivated.
I can hear you.
Things just go right for them. You know, like some people just have the Midas touch and it's just because of like, they believe things are going to go well for them and mm-hmm. they just do. I've been writing down stuff every year of my life since I was like in high school, since swimming, like putting the swimming time on my window that was like totally impossible. And stuff just happens. It's like, you just like will it into existence. It's like this habitual, like, I don't know if it's like you're brainwashing yourself, but it works. And then you've got people that are like very skeptical, you know, and very critical about their future and they just, it's like they'll end up with bad friends. They'll get bad things will happen to them at work. They'll get like bad. It's just bad things happen to them over and over and over and over again. And it's like, has nothing to do with who they are, their skills, their background, nothing. It's literally just like what they believe. It's so crazy.
Yeah. I stopped believing in coincidence a long time ago. And I honestly, I'm at the point now where I think the higher you level up, it's not even, I used to like set a goal and try my fucking ass. I've always had a good work ethic, you know, and try my ass off to achieve it. And then it kind of evolved to like, I would set a goal and like have enough, like, I think competence breeds confidence, right? So the more you like follow through and like impress yourself, like, oh, cool, I pulled it off. Like the more certainty you can like project something with just in the universe, period, right? And so I like developed enough.
Yeah, it's...
I developed enough like competence that I was like, okay, I can now do this with confidence. Now I will make an arbitrary fucking decision in my brain, in my imagination with zero, I mean like less than zero game plan in place yet, or like attack of like, here's the reason I am justified in knowing that this will happen. And like, if I make a decision, I am 1000% unequivocally certain that will be the case.
Dude, there's
there's a delusional quality there, but there's like delusional, and then there's like success, and like I'm just doing like a line graph, but like it's more like this, right? You know, the amount of overlap there is like delusion mixed with like pragmatic skill sets and like capacity to be able to function as a human in the world around you. You can't just be a complete outer space lunatic unless you are truly like so talented.
You have to have some self-perception abilities. Right.
Yeah.
But you do have to be a little bit delusional. And I think it's like a principle of faith. And I think the faith word has a connotation of like believing in a higher power. But I think the most understated connotation is faith in yourself. And I think a lot of times people think, oh, I have faith in this, I have faith in that, and I believe. But like, I think faith in yourself is a non-denominational, non-religious eternal principle, you know, call it the universe or whatever. What?
But yeah, that's just because you're one of those pesky, I'm not judging Mormons that gets offended by nothing. That's why you say it's non-denominational, because even if it was, you wouldn't be upset or married to my opinion about it anyway. Us Jews will say we're fine and then we'll lament about it and resent you silently for like the next decade.
Yeah. And I mean, both of our ancestors have been pretty screwed in one way or another. I think.
And on the Ooh Baby, I just stumbled across a nice Pornhub channel, like the bad kind of screwed.
The bad kind. I mean, the Jewish ancestors got it 1,000 times worse, but we got it kind of bad too. But
how did Mormons how did Mormons get screwed? Actually, we'll put that on the bullet because I liked your first.
It's really it's a really like very rarely known history, yeah. But it's actually really like fascinating how effed up the Mormons got in America. It's interesting. It's a really interesting story.
Jokes aside, I legitimately want to hear about that because you said it and I like kind of like did my quick, like I'm really fucking good with US history just randomly. I literally one time on the way back from San Francisco, I went to my girlfriend's house last year for my first Christmas ever. We drove from San Francisco to San Diego and we were in the car for like 11 hours or something. And I told her she's like, you're so good with just like, you know, you're talking to my stepdad and he brought up this blah, blah, blah. And you just jumped right in as if like the Industrial Revolution was your nature or something. And I'm like, first of all, don't you dare tell anyone that I'm good at history or I will fucking murk your ass. I have a reputation of a meathead to defend and a history nerd does not fit into my profile. I only got 180 characters, woman, and that does not make the cut.
Dude, we're the same person, man. I took 5 AP tests and the only one I passed was US history. I had a D in the class. The teacher had to give me an A because I got a 5 in US history. And
like, I love, dude, how much do you love that? You're like, dude, I can literally tell this person to fuck themselves. And if I get a 5 on the test, I can't not pass.
And the most surprised person in the room was me.
Somebody was hungover when grading this test. And again, just like 30 under 30, I'll take it.
Yeah, I think it's an ADHD thing, man. Evidently, like I have it pretty bad. And evidently, one of the characteristics is like you can literally only learn stuff that you're intensely, obsessively interested in. And like a normal person can learn because they tell themselves they need to learn it. But
and they can listen casually. I've never been that way. I'm like, I'm going to fucking wrestle and mouth kiss this thing to fucking death until I'm the best goddamn blah, blah, blah ever.
Yeah.
And she's like, relax, dude, you're setting up Noah's drone. Like, stop. Like, what are you doing? And I'm like, and the footage and like, dude, we can have like the Corvette pulling out and like, you can have like your titties flying in the wind and like, da, da, da. And Noah's like, can I please have my fucking drone? I'm like, hang on. I haven't read the instructions yet. You know,
I haven't read the instructions yet. Yeah, and then you like master it like 10 times faster than you're supposed to, and then you're just permanently—it's over. Like you don't even care anymore. You're on to the next thing.
Yeah, no, I attached my gimbal to my son's like fucking massive drone so that the camera has like a stabilization system in it, and then now I've never used it, and he just flies his drone and crashes it into trees with a gimbal attached to it. Like that, you nailed it like exactly on the head. That's awesome. Like, dude, I'm gonna get so fucking good at this, and then think about it ever again.
Inside Out Empowerment is written and produced by me, Joshua Nussbaum. When it comes to all things editing, mixing, mastering, I have to give hats off. Resonate Recordings has been amazing to work with. If you have a podcast or you're thinking about starting a podcast, I knew I had a bunch of stuff I wanted to say. Didn't really know how I was going to go about putting it into podcast format, get it into an RSS feed, upload it to iTunes, all that stuff. And the owner of Resonate Recordings, Jacob, has really stepped up to the plate. Go ahead and mention Inside Out Empowerment when you talk to them, and you'll get your first episode mixed and mastered for free. If you guys are looking to level up your life and be entertained in the process, go ahead and subscribe so you don't miss my weekly podcast. I'm highly responsive. Please, I'm going to leave the show notes below, complete with all the ways you can connect with me on Instagram at RevLabsPrez, on YouTube at Joshua Nussbaum. This is here for you guys. Please reach out, connect, like, comment, subscribe, ask me questions, tag me. I'm here for you. Let's tailor this bad boy and live an empowered life. Talk soon. Just watch me now. Just watch me now.